Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Chauncey Show. We're always right, never left, and we put God before politics first. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown, and good evening. Before we begin the show, I want to send out prayers to all of those who have lost loved ones with this unfortunate virus, the COVID-19. We want to send out prayers to all of you and your family members. Also, we want to wish Godspeed for all of those who are in the hospital that might be suffering at this time. But I want to send a special prayer out to a friend of mine, Jamie Bland, who's in the hospital right now. I wish her a speedy recovery. I also want to thank all of the frontline workers, police, fire, EMS, doctors, nurses, everybody, scientists, everybody on the front line of trying to battle this disease to give us a normal life. We want to say thank you, and we keep you in our prayers every day. We have an exciting show for you today. I have a dear friend of mine who's been on my show many times before in the studio. She's a businesswoman. She's from New York. She speaks right from her heart. She's extremely direct, and she's now running in the 22nd District for Congress in Florida. I want to welcome to the Chauncey Show my friend Darlene Swaffer. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chauncey. Thank you for having me on your show, and it's such a pleasure and honor to be with you and your guest today.
Thank you so much. A lot has been going on in your campaign. Talk a little bit about who you are. You've ran for office before. I know you're a businesswoman. Talk about your humble beginnings from New York and how you moved to Florida, how you became a businesswoman, a successful businesswoman, now being a candidate for Congress for the second time.
Okay. Yeah, I'm running for U.S. House of Representatives for Florida's 22nd congressional seat. We are going through a redistricting, and I am reserving the opportunity to change pending the redistricting. I'm from Brooklyn, New York, grew up in Brooklyn. However, I moved to South Florida about 28 years ago, and I've called South Florida home for all that time. I got very involved right away in the business community and served on several boards. I was the executive director for 4 years for the Puerto Rican Chamber of Commerce, and I sat in planning sessions with the Beacon Council when they were really focusing on diversifying their economy in Miami. So I have a really good understanding of economic development. And currently I'm an entrepreneur, trademarked as the Medicare lady. My expertise is in health insurance and Medicare insurance. And my background also includes project management, accounting and finance, corporate recruiting, banking, mortgage and insurance. And the good news is that I live and I work in my district. You know, I have a vested interest in my community. I serve my community with distinction. And currently I serve as the chairwoman for Broward County for the Republican National Hispanic Assembly, and also currently a board member for smartflorida.org. So that's smartflorida.org. They focus on saving the bees in Florida while also supporting our veteran population. So I couldn't be more excited when I just heard that I was appointed as a board member. So I'm excited about that.
Congratulations. And also, from you sharing just a little bit about yourself, it sounds like you're overqualified to be a congresswoman.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to feel that way. I'm actually quite humble, Chauncey. You know, my goal, obviously, is to serve. I feel that I've accomplished so much in my life. I've been compared to Maximo Alvarez. I don't know if you know who he is. He spoke at the Republican National Convention because we have a very similar rags to success story. So I feel that where I am at this point in my life, I don't like where things are heading in our country, and I feel that I need to do something so that I can ensure a future for my son Liam, who's 11 years old. And I want to share with you some of my endorsements coming into this race. I'm endorsed by Vets for Trump, the Greater South Florida Chamber of Commerce, the Republican National Hispanic Assembly, Doug Billings from The Right Show, and Beverly Kennedy from the Beverly Kennedy Radio Show, and then some other notable local leaders. So I'm really excited about that.
That is awesome. And I also want to add one more to your list. The Chauncey Show also endorsed you, and you're the first candidate this year that the Chauncey Show has endorsed. And we are working on right now a website page of the Chauncey Show's endorsement, and you are the first candidate that's already up on our webpage.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Thank you so much, Chauncey. I appreciate that.
Thank you for all of the work that you have done in your community in Florida. You know, this is the type of individuals that we need in public service today, is a person like yourself who understands the challenges that business faces, but also your work in the community allows you to stay connected and understand the challenges that they face as well.
Yes, yes. Well, I want to also share, you know, the big question that always everyone has, you know, why are you running? So I want to tell you why I'm running, okay? You ready for this?
Yes.
I feel that we have a broken Congress. We have a Congress that weaponizes our justice system. We have a Congress that supports illegals over Americans. A Congress that looks the other way while big tech censors conservatives and our First Amendment rights.
I agree with you 100%. But Darlene, are you there?
Daughters. A Congress that supports our failed education system and their success at indoctrinating our children to glorify socialism and communism. A Congress that is on a power grab to pack the Supreme Court and turn D.C. into a state, which, by the way, is unconstitutional. We have a vice president that has publicly fundraised on Twitter for Antifa rioters and looters. And we have a Congress overall that's passing unconstitutional laws left and right that only interest self-interest groups or major corporations. It doesn't help we the people. So I feel like I'm in a country that I don't recognize, and I think about what will the future be for not just my son, but all of our children. And I no longer want to sit, you know, in my living room watching TV. I feel like I do have an exceptional business background, and I am a staunch constitutionalist, Chauncey. I've been studying the Constitution for over close to 4 years. And the reason why I say that, you know, their goal to turn D.C. into a state, if you look at Article 1, Section 8, it clearly states they can't do that. That land was set aside on purpose for the Capitol. It was never meant to be recreated into a state. And it hasn't even seceded properly from the state of Virginia and Maryland. So they'd have to give permission first, and then they would have to take an act of Congress to do it.
That sounds very, very challenging. I guess they're trying to increase the numbers in the House and the Senate. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay, because before when you were talking, you got cut off. I couldn't hear you for like about 30 seconds. I don't know if it was your headset. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I was basically explaining, you know, why it is that I'm running for Congress.
Yes.
All right. So the reason is that I feel we have a broken Congress, you know, Congress that weaponizes our justice system, a Congress that supports illegals over Americans, a Congress that looks the other way while big tech censors conservatives and our First Amendment rights, a Congress that wants to take your Second Amendment rights away, a Congress that allows transsexuals to compete with women's sports and enter bathrooms with our daughters. A Congress that supports our failed education system and their success at indoctrinating our children to glorify socialism and communism. A Congress that's on a power grab to pack the Supreme Court and turn D.C. into a state. And we also have a vice president that has publicly fundraised on Twitter for Antifa rioters and looters. We have a broken Congress at this time.
That is a shame that these things are transpiring right now in our country.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you recognize this country? Because I don't.
No, I don't. You know, not even the news media do I recognize.
No, I don't. I think we've been systematically programmed to have this apathy against politics. Like, how often were we told through decades, your vote doesn't matter? Like, why get involved? It's not going to matter anyway. You're not going to have a voice. You're not going to have any input. We're powerless, okay? We've been taught that generationally, which has led to this apathy that we have towards our own politics, getting involved. And I think Doug Billings actually said something that made so much sense. He said, actually, was it him or General Flynn? It might have been General Flynn. And he did an interview, and he said, don't freeload your freedom on the backs of those who are willing to fight for it. So in other words, the lone soldiers that get deplatformed, the lone soldiers that are always ostracized for, you know, sharing their truth, right? Throughout history, the righteousness have always been persecuted for telling the truth, right? So don't freeload off of their efforts. Everyone needs to get involved. Everyone needs to be in this fight to protect our country, to fight for our Constitution.
Amen. Because if not, it will be at our doorstep.
Correct.
What are some of the challenges that the people in your district are facing that you want to try to address?
Well, in my district, I think it's the biggest concern, not only in my district, it's nationwide, and that's, you know, election integrity. And that's why we have such an issue with H.R. 1, which they call it For the People Act, but it really doesn't help us. It just helps them with their power grab, right? So if you want, I've done so much research on H.R. 1. I'm so happy to educate your voters, and I can tell you what the strong points are of that particular legislation and why they're trying to pass it. So,
please do.
Introduced by the 117th Congress, which is our current Congress. It was introduced on January 4th, 2021. And here's some notes from the Heritage Foundation. H.R. 1 federalizes and micromanages the election process. Now, if you look at our Constitution, our states are responsible for how their elections are run. And that decision rests with the legislature, doesn't rest with the courts, and it doesn't rest with the governor or the mayors. It rests solely with the legislatures. So H.R. 1 would take that power away from the states, okay? The bill interferes with the ability of states and their citizens to determine the qualification for voters and to ensure the accuracy of the voter registration rolls. Number three, it reverses the decentralization of the American election process, which is necessary to protect our liberty and freedom. Number four, seizes authorities from the state, but we shared that earlier. Number five, makes it easier to commit fraud. It promotes chaos at the polls through same-day registration. Like, instead of registering by a specific deadline, it's letting them know, oh, you can register same day that you're ready to vote. It's insane. It hurts the voter turnout through early voting by diffusing the intensity of the get-out-to-vote efforts. It degrades the accuracy of registration lists by automatically registering individuals from state databases, such as the Department of Motor Vehicles and welfare offices, and registering large numbers of ineligible voters, including aliens, as well as multiple or duplicate registrations of the same individuals. Number eight, constitutes a recipe for massive voter registration fraud by hackers and cyber criminals through online voter registration. Nine, requires states to count ballots cast by voters outside of their assigned precinct. Number 10, prevents election officials from checking the eligibility and qualifications of voters and remove ineligible voters. 11, cripples the effectiveness of state voter ID laws. 12, violates the First Amendment and could cover a vast range of legal activity. 13, expands regulation and government censorship of campaigns and political activity and speech, including online and policy-related speech. 4, reduces the number of Federal Election Commission members from 6 to 5. That makes no sense. 15, prohibits state election officials from participating in federal elections, okay? 16, requires the states to restore the ability of felons to vote. So they're not even allowing the state to decide that. They're telling all the states, even if you have it, like that law, that felons cannot vote, you need to reverse that law. 17, transfers the right to draw congressional districts. Why? To make it favorable for whoever is in power at that particular election cycle. 18, violates separation of powers and directly interferes with the presidential constitutional duties. H.R. 1 bans their political appointees, such as the Attorney General, from participating in, directing the defense of, or assisting in any matter, including lawsuits against a president's policies, programs, executive orders, or his or her enforcement of a law in which the president is named as a party. H.R. 1.
Wow, that's a shame. And that goes against the Constitution of the United States. The federal government cannot impose its will upon states.
Exactly. Because, you know, you've been in politics long enough to know the origin of our Constitution. So many people don't realize the Constitution is a compact. It's almost like an agreement that all the states, when they got together, they agreed, we need a governing body because that will make us have the ability to leverage and negotiate with other countries. If they see us as a governing body, they see us as a country, then we can go ahead and work with other countries. So that was the initial premise. And they said, we will do this. We will agree to this so long as we reserve the higher power for ourselves and the lower power to the government, to the Constitution. It's always been that way. It's always been that way. What we have is a rogue government that has been operating in such a state where they've assumed higher powers and continually try to take powers away from the states. And
we have rogue politicians that made the government rogue. And this is why you're running, and this is why we have to weed out those corrupt politicians that are, you know, using it for their own personal gain, whether it's power, money, or both.
Right. But we've also allowed it to happen. Like, I allowed it to happen because I didn't know any better. I didn't, you know, I was like every average day American, Chauncey. I was running a business. Got married, I had a child, you know, I was, you know, volunteering in the community, I was taking care of my mom. You know, I was too busy in my life to be concerned or programmed to be concerned about caring about how government works. I'm not the only one. The majority of Americans kind of fell into that, and it was Trump that woke us up. He literally allowed the uncovering of all this corruption, of all these backroom deals, of all the money funneling and money laundering that was going on with our politicians overseas, right? We send money in, and we call it aid, but then that money comes back and lines their pockets and their families' pockets and in the form of board memberships or, you know, contracts with those countries, right? He exposed all that. He allowed us to see this is what's been going on, and we've been asleep at the wheel. We've been too busy worried about our favorite program on TV or watching our favorite sports team or going to a concert or watching a brand new movie that came out. You know, we were concerned about everything else but what was happening with the foundation of our country. and the eroding, the continual eroding of our liberties and our freedoms and our and their continual attack on our Constitution.
Education is the key.
It is.
And the first thing that the politicians did was we look at our public education system and look how it's not educating our children.
Right.
You know, we have congresspeople now like an AOC who's gone through our public education system and has no idea and bearing on how government works.
She has a degree supposedly in economics. And economics 101 is very simple, similar to like accounting 101. You can't spend more than you take in. You can't figure that part out.
Yeah, I think she missed something there.
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, that and, you know, the PRO Act bill is a concern of mine. You know, the rogue actors that we have in Congress that, you know, really, you know, catering to the self-interest groups. I really believe that we need more everyday average Americans that are not part of the establishment, that can't be compromised, God-fearing, God-loving Americans. Because what do we have in Congress right now, Chauncey? Like, I don't look at them as Americans. Are they American? Like, would Americans do that? Like, would they sell out their country for a buck? You know, I mean, because, you know, they all have family. They all have relatives. They all have children. They all have grandchildren. Would Americans do that? Like, I find that so hard to believe. And I also find it so hard to believe that as a society, we're that your neighbor could care less that you're deplatformed. Or as a conservative, you're censored. Like, they don't think twice that your First Amendment right has been taken away from you. Or, you know, the power grab to take our guns away. Like, it's like they're not going back to, wait a minute, how is that going to end well for us? Because it has never ended well historically for any other country that's tried this. You know, Venezuela is a perfect example. The citizens there said the one thing that they regret was the day that they gave up their guns, because at that point they had no way to defend themselves.
It is very sad the way our country and certain politicians are leading this country into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just like the border crisis. You're opening up the borders, and then you're going to offer money. People don't come. After you campaign on, come on in. And now these people are coming in, not being checked for any diseases, not just COVID-19.
Right. But, I mean, I think it's worse than that. I mean, they have TV commercials inviting them in. And coyotes are charging $4,500 and up to bring them over the border, saying that they will provide safe passage. So a refugee does not have $4,500. That's not what's coming over the border. A refugee has no money, okay? And those that are actually brought over the border, many of them are trafficked. Many of them are sex trafficked. We just don't hear that on our news, okay? And then what I just saw, because I'm in the industry to support our seniors, and today I had to go on the Social Security website to look up something, and sure enough, I saw Social Security income for refugees. I literally saw that on the website. So not only are they bringing them over the border, they're housing them in hotels while our veterans are homeless, okay? They're giving them Social Security income. They're giving them free health benefits. They're giving them kind of like a Social Security, like a welfare stipend, okay? Why? Why are they doing that for illegals? We had the most secure border in the history of our country under the Trump administration. why would you reverse that? What's the motivation? Because at this point, we have to ask to follow the money and follow the power grab, because that's what it equates to at the end. There's nothing else that makes sense.
Yeah, it's not benefiting the people. And like you talk about the power grab, you're talking about influx of all these people is going to be a new voting block for
right.
them.
Every 700,000 residents equals a new House seat. And, of course, they're getting concerned because everybody's moving out of these big Democratic cities. New York just lost, what, 2 or 3 seats? Pennsylvania just lost 2 seats? Florida's getting 2 to 3 seats.
Right, education is the key. And, you know, thank God for candidates like yourself standing up, speaking truth to power, educating the electorate, you know, because if not, we'd be lost.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, people
are not.
No, go ahead, darling. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, you know, how do we, the big question, Chauncey, is how do we fix this? Okay. I want to give you an example, and I want to give you my thoughts on how I think we can fix it. Florida's in session 2 months, not like the U.S. Congress, which is in session several times for the whole year. Okay. Florida's just 2 months. And we have something called Florida Lobby Days, which is when different organizations will make appointments with legislators to talk about issues. So you know I'm with the Republican National Hispanic Assembly, and every county chairperson went up in a leadership mission to meet with several of our legislators. And we represent over 14,000 members in the state of Florida. So I saw, and this was just back like last month, this was in March, March 10th, and I saw firsthand how we as individuals, but collectively together, made a difference talking to our legislators. In fact, one example was Tom Fabricio introduced increasing the homestead exemption for seniors for their primary residence, and I asked him, have you ever considered doing the same exact thing for veterans? They're always the most overlooked population. And he turned to me and said, Darlene, that's an amazing idea. I don't know why I didn't think about it, but it's too late to introduce it this year because our session's almost over. But I'm working on that for next year. So that was the power of that one voice, but that one voice wasn't possible unless I was there together with the leadership representing those 14,000 members, you see? So
yes.
That made me understand why. There's a national initiative with the GOP to fill every vacant precinct captain. So that's the first thing that needs to be done. Every vacancy needs to be filled, and that's why I started our time together by saying we all have to get involved. We all have to get off the couch or out from in front of the TV, turn the TV off, and besides spending more time with our family, we need to get involved in our local government. We need to fill every precinct captain vacancy. We need to run for school board. We need to run for city manager or mayor, commissioner. We need to fill every seat with more conservative voices. Hispanics need to stop being, and I'm Hispanic myself, so I'm speaking from experience. We don't have the same kind of representation in elected officials as the black community has. And why is that? We actually make up a bigger part of the population. We should be getting more involved because Hispanics culturally are quite conservative. They just need to maybe be educated on why the GOP may be a better match for that cultural connection, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if we stop focusing on the candidates that self-fund, the ones that actually put their own money in, those candidates are proving that only wealthy people can run. What we as a community have to do is find an everyday average American, a business owner, an accountant, a physician, the post office guy, anybody that will question the money. Anybody that will question, well, wait a minute, you're talking about passing this law, but it sounds like it's something that would go against our Constitution. We have way too many attorneys in Congress, okay? We need to identify constitutional patriots that cannot be bought and will not sell out their country, and we need to fund those candidates and get them elected into Congress. And that means helping them with their campaign, making phone calls, knocking on doors, contributing, whether it's $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month, because candidates can't run a campaign without money. Okay, it's not like we don't get a break, we don't get discounts, okay? And we have to run TV commercials, we have to do postcard mailings, we have to buy lawn signs, we have to have, you know, our finances reported to the FEC, and they're really strict about that, and we need support, and we can't do it by ourselves. So I'm asking your viewers, your listeners, to support my campaign because I can't do this by myself. I can be the most perfect candidate, and I can do this for all the right reasons, and if I don't have support, I will not make it. And that's for every Patriot candidate nationwide.
Please share, darling, that information with my audience on how they can donate to your campaign.
Yes. So if they go to swafforforcongress.com, that's S-W-A, F as in Frank, F as in Frank, A-R, F-O-R, congress.com, and there's a donate button. But even if I had 1,000 people donate a dollar, that means something, because that means that if you gave me a dollar, that means you care enough to follow my campaign. You've got a vested interest in my campaign, and it shows 1,000 people support me. You see? So no donation is too small. Every donation counts, and everything will help. And if somebody can, you know, donate more than that, I would really appreciate it, because we want to launch our campaign and we want to launch big, and we cannot do it without your help.
Also, if people would like to volunteer to your campaign, can you share that information as well?
Sure. Actually, the website does have a sign-up sheet for somebody who wants to volunteer, but they can also call our office. It's 754-444-2782, and that's my office, 754-444-2782, and it's swafforforcongress.com.
Thank you so much, Darlene, for coming on today. Is there anything else that you would like to share in closing?
Yeah, I mean, I love what I do for a living. I think that we all need to collectively do our part. This is me doing my part, Chauncey. You know, I want a better future for our children. And I feel that we need more soldiers. We need more Marjorie Taylor Greens. We need more Lauren Boberts. We need more Matt Gaetz. We need more, you know, Marsha Blackburn, Jim Jordan. We need more of them. There's not enough people defending our liberties and our freedoms. And so I'm willing to do my part, and it's cost me a lot. I was deplatformed from Facebook. You know, they eliminated my personal page, my campaign page, my business page. It's cost me dearly. It's cost me clients. It's cost me insurance agents. I'm an insurance broker. It's cost me a part of my team. It's daily attacks every day. You know, but I'm doing my part because that's the sacrifice that I'm willing to make, and I think that's no different than our founding fathers who signed the last page of that Declaration of Independence where they pledged their life, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, and they paid dearly. You know, their plantations were destroyed. Their ships were bombed. They were hunted. Every single person that signed the Declaration was hunted down by the English soldiers. I don't think it's any different of any conservative running for any office nationwide. It's really, we're putting our lives out there. So I'm doing my part, and if you can't run, if you could do your part and help me, I would really appreciate it.
Thank you very much again. We wish you the best of luck, and I hope that you would come back on again before your election gets to a close.
Absolutely. Anytime, Chauncey, you'd like to have me, I'll come on.
Thank you so much, and God bless you and your family.
Oh, God bless you too, hon. Take care.
Take care. You're listening to The Chauncey Show. We were proud and honored to have Darlene Swaffer, who's a candidate for Florida's Congressional District 22. As you can see, she's a businesswoman, she's a conservative, and as a result for her standing up for not only the people of Florida, but for the American people, she's been attacked, she's been banned from Facebook, she's lost business, she's lost clients. Please, we need to all get behind and support Darlene and her candidacy and all other candidates that want to stand up to protect our rights, our First Amendment, our Second Amendment, our right to practice our religious freedoms. We take all of these things for granted. You know, Darlene was kind enough to share with us and educate us today on the H.R. 1 bill. You know, these are the type of candidates that we need. People that are going to educate us. People that are going to bring us to Congress with them. Not get elected and forget about their constituents like a Maxine Waters in California and Watts, who doesn't even live in the district that she represents, unless she lives in a $2 million house. We need to start electing people that are really fighting for people. And if they are banning Darlene from Facebook, and if they're trying to disrupt her life, we need to listen to people like that because they're telling the truth. So please, I implore everybody to help out. If you can donate, please donate to Darlene's campaign. If you can volunteer, please volunteer. Please, we need everybody, all hands on deck, to get involved if we want to protect the American way of life in the country that we love so dear. Don't wait until it's at your doorstep that we're locked in and you don't have a voice before you want to stand up for that. I want to thank all of my listeners for tuning in. It's the Chauncey Show. We're here every Tuesday and Thursday from 6 to 6:45. Next up, next Tuesday, we have another exciting show coming up for you. Let's check and see what we have on the schedule. Next on the schedule, we have U.S. Congressional candidate Sari Kim running out of Texas in the 6th District. She's an exciting Asian candidate who's going to be on talking about her humble beginnings growing up in Texas. And she's going to talk about her plans for Texas. She's going to talk about the border crisis. And she's going to talk about her plans for the nation. So that's going to be an exciting show. And that's going to be on Tuesday at 6:00 Eastern Standard Time. Once again, we hope everyone enjoyed this segment and show. We ask all of you to follow us and give us your support on Facebook, The Chauncey Show, on Twitter, Chauncey Show USA. We're on Power of The Chauncey Show. Please like and follow us. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. You can follow me on Twitter at NY Talk Radio Host. Also, Right Talk Radio Host on Facebook, or just Chauncey Brown. Google my name and you can follow me. And I thank all of my supporters. I also want to thank all the supporters who donated to the Chauncey Show over this past month. Thank you. We list your name on the support of my personal webpage, Chauncey I. Brown III, where we ask for donations. There is a list of everyone who's contributed so we can show respect and be thankful for the supporters. We do this, we operate on small donations from my supporters and people like you. So please consider whatever you can, $1, $2, $3, donate to the Chauncey Show at PayPal. PayPal me, The Chauncey Show, and we'd appreciate your small donations. That'll help us to continue to be a voice for you, the American people. Until next time, we thank you for tuning in. God bless you all. Be safe and keep the faith. Good night now.